There will also be external vendors and food trucks from late afternoon to 23 hours. Come and enjoy a relaxed environment as you browse, shop and dine without stressing about shops closing early. Get ready for an evening of fun with live entertainment and exciting activities. See you there.
The main news bulletin on Phoenix FM is brought to you by Absa Bank Zambia PLC. Your story matters.
Zambia, you did it! The Absa Marathon is officially sold out. 7,000 elite and social runners from Zambia and beyond are ready to tell their story on the 6th of September. But this race is bigger than just running. Together with World Vision, we're fighting menstrual poverty to keep thousands of girls in school. Visit absamarathonzambia.co.zf and click on the Mzinga World Vision Challenge. Your story matters. Absa.
The headlines. IPAC demands action on Sinomators of alleged pollution report cover-up. Kanchiria chiefs call for embattled Bill 7 to proceed, demanding delimitation. And in global news, at least one killed and dozens injured in Russian strikes on southern Ukraine. Malumba Malumba with the Phoenix FM News. The Action Institute for Policy Analysis Center, IPAC, has called on the government to fine Sinomators Limited and suspend its operations following revelations that the mine lied about the extent of the impact of the recent dam collapse at the company's site. IPAC Executive Director Solomon Ngoma has accused Sinomators of lying to authorities and failing to disclose impact assessment reports, which he says has endangered surrounding communities. Mr. Ngoma says the Zambia Environmental Management Agency, ZEMA, and the Ministry of Mines must investigate the incident thoroughly and ensure those responsible are held accountable, while urging the government to facilitate compensation and support to affected families. He has also called for wider transparency in the mining sector, saying the failure to inform the public about potential risks of the Sinomators pollution of the Kafue River amounted to a betrayal of citizens' rights to environmental safety and public health. The IPAC executive director has also urged the government to hold the Chinese government accountable for the actions of its companies operating in Zambia.
IPAC calls for transparency and accountability in Sinomators dam collapse, and the government should fine Sinomators Limited for lying. The Action Institute for Policy Analysis Center is calling on the Zambia Environmental Management Agency and the Minister of Mines to prioritize transparency and accountability in the wake of Sinomators dam collapse. It is unacceptable that impact assessment reports were not made public and affected communities were not alerted about the potential risk. IPAC demands that ZEMA and the Minister of Mines take immediate action to investigate the cause of the dam collapse and ensure that those responsible are held accountable.
Chiefs in Kanchiria District have urged the government to proceed with the constitution amendment process to allow for the delimitation of constituencies. The call was made yesterday when Speaker of the National Assembly Nelly Muti paid a courtesy call on Senior Chief Kopa, Chief Luchembe, Chief Kavinga and Chief Mpepo during her tour of Muchinga Province. Speaking on behalf of the traditional leaders, Chief Kavinga said that the delimitation of constituencies would promote equitable distribution of resources and fast-track development across the country. The chiefs also commended President Hakainde Hichilema and his administration for increasing the Constituency Development Fund CDF allocation to 36.1 million kwacha, saying Kanchiria District has recorded unprecedented progress as a result. Ms. Muti is on a provincial tour where she is visiting all constituency offices to check on their operations and engage with stakeholders.
The issue of delimitation, which was talked about, we look forward that the amendment is done. Because Kanchiria constituents, I think it's one of the largest constituents in Zambia. We are four chiefs in a huge chunk of land, each one of us is. And for young people move from one chief from another, it's not feasible, so it's
The Community Action Against Corruption, CASC, has charged that the failure by the UPND government to enact key legislation over the past 4 years has weakened the fight against corruption and eroded public confidence. Organization Chief Executive Officer Brighton Tembo says the Anti-Corruption ACC Act of 2012 should have been repealed to remove provisions that allow plea bargaining and asset forfeiture arrangements, arguing that such measures risk creating corruption within the corruption fight as plunderers of state resources negotiate their way out of punishment. Mr. Tembo further says the government should have introduced a law mandating the suspension of forced leave of government officials under corruption investigation to strengthen the Anti-Corruption Commission ACC and Drug Enforcement Commission DEC by reducing intimidation and interference in their work. The organization has also called for legislation requiring the Republican president, elected leaders and senior government officials to declare their assets before taking office and after leaving office, saying a failure to do so raises suspicion of fear of public scrutiny over wealth accumulation. Mr. Tembo adds that a law compelling political parties to disclose their sources of funding is necessary, including lifestyle audits to prevent state capture, which would shift the anti-corruption agenda from press briefings, seminars, and public statements to concrete legal action in the courts of law.
This government has been in power the past 4 years. It has failed to enact laws that can help to steer corruption fight in the right direction. For example, there is no commitment to enacting the law that will compel the Republican president and all cabinet ministers, including all top government officials, to declare their assets before and after leaving office. There is no commitment to enacting a law that will compel political parties, both the ruling party and the opposition, to disclose their sources of funding. There is no commitment to enacting the law on lifestyle audit. If you look at all this, there is no even commitment to repeal the Anti-Corruption Act so that they can remove those witnesses like free bargain, the forfeiture of assets without sending corrupt people to prison.
Energy expert Dr. Johnston Chukwanda is urging government to mandate the planned monitoring framework on electricity open access policy with enough authority to effectively deal with non-compliant actors on those standing in the way of the policy. His remarks follow the Energy Regulation Board, ERB's recent disclosure that the government will soon establish a dedicated monitoring framework to oversee the implementation of the electricity open access framework. In an interview with Phoenix News, Dr. Chukwanda explains that having a monitoring framework in place with no enforcement capacity may render the electricity open access policy ineffective. Dr. Chukwanda has also urged the government to check how other countries successfully implemented their open access facilities and benchmark against them.
The monitoring mechanism itself need to have significant teeth so that it is able to enforce compliance, in the absence of which it might be difficult to implement this policy at the pace that we want to see. In the same vein, I would want to encourage that the Energy Regulation Board, if indeed they haven't done so yet, if they have done so, that is good, to check with other jurisdictions that have successfully implemented the open access mechanism.
Meanwhile, energy expert Boniface Zulu says the open access policy will not succeed without coupling it with cost-reflective tariffs.
The open access policy will need to move hand in hand with a cost-reflective tariff, which will project the true cost of generation, transmission and distribution of electricity to create a better environment within the energy trading space for electricity.
Police in Chasefu district have arrested 4 people in connection with the murder of a 27-year-old man, James Nyurongo, following a land dispute in Chazanga village of Chief Magodi's area.